We're on our last living word of the Christian faith tonight. Last time, the 11th one was translation, the word of hope. And tonight is glorification, the word of triumph. Or you could say the word of victory. I looked up the word glorification in the Webster's dictionary, and this is the definition they gave. The art of glorifying, or the state of being glorified. Now, isn't that the way a lot of definitions are? The art of glorifying, or the state of being glorified. Now, that really gave me the definition of glorified. So, we're going to have to look at the Scriptures to get the definition for it. Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verses 51 through 57. First Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, glorification is described here in 1 Corinthians 15 with these words, changed, incorruptible, and immortality. Changed, incorruptible, and immortality. The word triumph is described by the word victory that we see here three times. In Romans 8:37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. And I think that could be painting the picture of what we're talking about here about glorification. Not in this life, but in the life to come. After the rapture takes place, we will be glorified. The word change means to make different. Incorruptible means undecaying. And immortality means deathlessness. So we're going to be looking at seven issues concerning our glorification. The first one is the declaration of our glorification. First of all, it's declared by the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17. You know, this is Christ's high priestly prayer. And in John 17, verses 22 and 24, it says this, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ's declaration of our glorification. And then we see the Apostle Paul's declaration in Romans 8:29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, in Paul saying this, them he also glorified, it seems as it's in the past tense, we have been glorified. And as I said last week, every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're as sure as heaven as if we were already there. And we're as sure of our glorification as if we were already there. But as I also said, we're carrying around that old nature with us. And that's why we get mad, and that's why so many things happen in our Christian lives that we have created ourselves because of our attitude, because of our actions, because that old dead, that old nature wants to rise up and take over in our lives. But when we receive that glorified body, this is not going to happen again. Vance Havner said one time he was thankful for a God who had a book that begins and ends with the devil out of business. The first two chapters of Genesis and the last two chapters of Revelation, the devil's out of business. And when we are with the Lord in heaven, and when we have that glorified body, the devil is going to be out of business. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." We should be living with eternity's values in view as we live our life now. And that's what Colossians 3, 1 through 4 is saying. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. Apply that this Christmas. Seeking those things that are above and setting your affections on things above. Try to teach that to your children, to seek those things which are above. I heard a fellow this Sunday, he was talking about when he was a child, that his father got all the children together to let them know that they were not going to have a Santa Claus that year. And he said they went, they said, okay. And then they went out of the room and they told their aunt, they said, "You know," said, "we feel so sorry for Daddy," said, "he don't believe in Santa Claus." Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And then we see this declared, our glorification, in the book of Hebrews. And you could say, well, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. I like what Lehman Strauss said. He said, you look at all the books that Paul wrote, and it starts out, Paul. He said, you look at Hebrews, verse 1, and it says, God. And that's how he answered someone who was trying to say that Paul wrote Hebrews, and Paul might have. But let's remember this. We're always talking about the different Bible writers. They were writing under the inspiration of the Spirit. And so it's God's Word. And so whether we know the human author or not is not really important. What is important is knowing that God wrote this. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 it says, "For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And bringing many sons unto glory. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins in order that we might receive a glorified body in heaven. So we have the declaration by Jesus. We have the declaration by Paul. We have the declaration by the book of Hebrews. But then we want to look at the definition of our glorification. One person has said this: glorification is the final act in God's redeeming work. We talked about, we have been saved the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. You have been saved. You are being saved because the Lord Jesus Christ is keeping us. He's living within us and He's living His life out through us. We are being saved. He's given us the power to overcome sin. He saved us from the penalty of sin. And we shall be saved when we're taken up to be with the Lord. And that final stage of our salvation is our glorification. And Bernard Ram says this: "The bringing to perfection of our present salvation in the future end time is exactly the substance of the doctrine of glorification. The bringing to perfection of our present salvation in the future end time is exactly the substance of the doctrine of glorification." And then the New Compact Bible Dictionary says this: "Glory culminates in the changing of the bodies of the saints to the likeness of their glorified Lord. Our bodies will be changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. It says, "For our conversation," is the word in the King James, "for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." He will fashion, that we our bodies may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. The definition of our glorification. And then the date of our glorification. First of all, it's going to be at the time when Jesus Christ returns. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So the date is at the return of Christ. It's also at the resurrection of the dead in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:42-43. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." And at the rapture of the church, 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." At the rapture of the church. You see what's going to happen when you go and look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you see what God intended. That's what He intended for the earth. And then we come to chapter 3, and man disobeyed God, and he brought sin on the whole human race. When we come to Revelation, the last two chapters, we see that God's bringing us back to what He intended at the beginning. And it describes for us there in Revelation what it's going to be like in heaven. How there's going to be no sickness. How there's going to be no sadness. How there's going to be joy. How we're going to walk on streets of gold. But I don't think that's going to be the important thing, is walking on streets of gold and having our mansion, whatever that's going to be. But what's going to really be important is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and being with Him and really serving Him the way He wants us to. Because it's going to be a perfect servitude when we get there. You know, there are a lot of people that, they're doing a certain thing in the Lord's work, and they think everybody else ought to be doing the same thing they're doing, you know? And they're condemning somebody because they're not doing it just like they are. It's not going to be like that in heaven. We're not going to be condemning one another. We're just going to be glorifying the Lord and enjoying being in His presence. The date when the Lord comes back, when we meet the Lord in the air, when the rapture takes place, when the dead are raised incorruptible, the duration of our glorification. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Second Timothy 2 and verse 10 says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Eternal glory. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." And 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Eternal. You notice that in all three of those references. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus. And it's in this chapter that He told him he must be born again. And in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, Jesus said this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." The duration of our glorification is eternal, forever, with the Lord. The fifth one, the dynamic of our glorification. That word dynamic means to be marked by continuous productive activity or change. Forceful. You see, the moment you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He started working in your life to make changes. We hear people give testimonies about certain habits that they dropped in their life, just like that. There are other people that some of those habits hang on for a while, but they get under conviction. And it's the Spirit of God that convicts. And so as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, things are going to change. And year by year, we're going to see changes taking place in our lives. If we're not seeing changes take place, it's kind of like bringing a baby home from the hospital, and that baby never grows, and you just have to keep feeding that baby milk. They never get on solid food. But what the Lord is desiring and what He equips us with is for us to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we hear so often about Christian people who have fallen by the wayside, have grown disinterested in the things of the Lord, and are not faithful in coming out to the meetings of the local assembly. And we hear of divorces, and we hear of marital problems, and we hear of problems with parents and with their children, and all of these things happening amongst those who name the name of Christ. But that's not God's desire. And He has given us the power. He's given us the ability to overcome these things. Over in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 32, we see the dynamic of our glorification brought out. Romans chapter 8. We're starting out with a verse that's very popular in Romans chapter 8. You might have memorized that, but maybe not some of these other verses we're going to look at. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." If we love God and we're really desirous of pleasing Him, it says there in Romans 8, 28, that everything that happens in our lives is going to work out to good. We don't always see the good as we're going through it. But that's a promise of the Lord. And I think that's a testimony that many of us sitting right here could give today of how God has worked through some very difficult circumstances and have used those circumstances to draw us closer to Him. He goes on to say, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And when we really receive those all things, that's when we're going to have those glorified bodies. And we're going to all be satisfied. We're going to like what we have to eat. We're going to like the temperature. We're going to like everything about it. There's no complaining. Just worshiping Him and praising Him. Ben Franklin's epitaph said this: like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out, the script of its lettering and gilding lies here food for worms. But the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will, as he believes, appear once more, and a new and more perfect edition, corrected and amended by the author. So if you don't like something about yourself, if you don't like something about how you look, it's going to be changed. You know, we heard a lot about change in this political situation we had in recently. Change, change, change. And I doubt if we're going to see a whole lot. It's going to be the same old thing over and over. We're seeing it now. I mean, we're hearing it on the news today. The same old thing. Corruption. But when we see the Lord, that's when that real change is going to take place. And that's what Ben Franklin was talking about. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You might think this has nothing to do with this, but I remember hearing of a man preaching a funeral once, and he was using an illustration. And he said of this dead person, he said, we had the shell before, but the nut is gone. The dynamic of our glorification. You know, Lehman Strauss said he never went back to his wife's grave because he said she wasn't there. I remember a friend of ours' husband died, and she was talking to us about she put his blanket on him in the casket so he could stay warm. Oh, come on. And you know, if a body is burned up in a house, completely destroyed, whatever might happen, or a shark destroys that body, you see, our God has the power to put the body back together again. It's not going to be that old body. It's going to be a new one. Created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the demonstration of our glorification. Again, Philippians 3 and verse 21. The demonstration of our glorification. Who shall change, there's that word change, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The demonstration of our glorification. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly. This is the love chapter. But listen to what it says there in verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly. We see through darkened glasses, through sunglasses. We can't see the whole picture. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Well, when is it talking about here? When we see face to face. It's when we're with the Lord, when we're glorified. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Don't ever say that you're going to ask Paul a question when you get to heaven. Are you going to ask Peter something? Are you going to ask somebody? I hear people say that. I hear preachers say that. That verse right there says you're not going to have to ask any questions. You're going to know as you're known. That's going to be part of that glorified body. And what does it say in Matthew 10:30? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. We're going to even know the number of hairs on our head. We're going to know as we're known. So, when we're working each summer with special needs people, and those special need people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, in heaven they're going to be just as smart as you are. Because they're going to be changed just like we are. And they're going to have new bodies. And those who are handicapped in so many other ways, in wheelchairs, those who lost their legs, it's going to all be changed. They're going to be able to walk. Those who couldn't talk are going to be able to talk. Those who couldn't hear are going to be able to hear. Those who couldn't see are going to be able to see. And Fanny Crosby said, "And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 46. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 46. It says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Now that word quickening, I've illustrated it this way before. Stuart Briscoe said in England there were two types of pedestrians, the quick and the dead. Quickening means living. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which was natural, and afterward that which was spiritual. The demonstration of our glorification. And the final one, number 7, is the desire for our glorification. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." There's that word groan again. We have it in Romans 8. J. Byrne McGee said he had a right to groan. All of us, as we get older, we have a right to groan. "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Glorification. The word of triumph. Mortality might be swallowed up of life. Glorification, the word of triumph. First of all, we saw the declaration of our glorification. We see that in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And we need to remember that as we go through this Christmas season. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Then we have the definition of our glorification. Changed into His likeness, Philippians 3:21. The date of our glorification, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, when the saints meet the Lord in the air. The duration of our glorification, eternal, 1 Peter 5:10, John 3:14 through 17. The dynamic of our glorification, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The final stage of being made new. And then the demonstration of our glorification. Our bodies fashioned like His glorious body. And the desire for our glorification. 2 Corinthians 5:2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now, since this was the last one, let me just go back real quick and go over the ones that we've looked at. This was the 12th one. The first one was salvation, and that's the word of power. And a key verse is Romans 1:16-17. Romans 1:16-17. Salvation, the word of power. Substitution, the word of grace. And the key verse is Galatians 2:20. And Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And propitiation, the word of satisfaction. And that is the word of the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His blood in order that our sins might be covered. Key verse is 1 John 2 and verse 2. He is the propitiation for our sins. And then the fourth word was reconciliation, the word of peace. The key verse is 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And then the fifth one was redemption, the word of freedom. The key verse was Revelation 5:9. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Redemption. And then the sixth one was justification, the word of assurance. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised again for our justification. Regeneration was the seventh one, the word of life. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then the eighth one was sanctification, the word of purity, being made holy. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that verse is speaking about keep on being filled. It's a daily thing of being sanctified, of being set apart, of being holy unto the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 is a key verse. Well, that was regeneration, but sanctification, the word of purity, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And then the ninth one was adoption, the word of love. And we said Galatians 4:4-5 were the key verses for that. The end of that fifth verse talks about our adoption. Jesus Christ coming into the world at God's time, according to His timetable, in order that He might, and to redeem us, in order that we might be adopted into His family. And then the tenth one was union, the word of victory. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, of Him are ye all in Christ Jesus, the union that we have in Christ. And then the last one that we had was translation, the word of hope. The key verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then the 12th one that we just looked at is glorification, the word of triumph, Romans 8:30. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. The living words of our Christian faith. Somebody said, well, you could find some other ones, couldn't you? And you could. You could find a lot more. You could add to that. Thank you.